You're listening to the Ascent Podcast, a production of Foothills Church. When you step out of the bounds of the expectations of culture, there's very little question you will stand out. Whether that's for the right reasons or perhaps the wrong reasons, people will take notice. Today, in a culture that is more hyperconnected than ever before, our response, our attitudes, and our ability to stand out as Christians has a powerful opportunity to allow our worship to influence those around us. But what does that look like? We sat down with lead pastor of Foothills Church, Trent Stewart, to talk about that and more on today's episode of the Ascent Podcast.
Ultimately, as we chase all these things, what we're doing is we're trying to fill that void in our heart. And we may not know this, but what we're really trying to do is we're trying to find God, because He's the only one that can fill that.
I am Britton Drown. Thanks as always for listening. Let's jump right in. Well, we're joined as always by Pastor Trent Stewart today as we talk a little bit about how our worship as Christians does in fact have the opportunity to change the world. Pastor Trent, thanks as always for joining us.
Absolutely. So glad to be here and really appreciate everyone tuning in and listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to begin today just by kind of asking you right off the bat, what is your definition of worship?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a definition or not, or just kind of just a concept to talk about, because it's so hard to really define. And I know there's a lot of definitions out there, but you know, worship to me is just whenever you really determine that something is worth your time, it's worth your talents, it's worth the money that you have, it's worth your energy. And so with your life, you are saying that you value something, that you are giving something worth in your life. And so really the essence of worship is just when we begin to focus on and we respond to our idol or our God. And so I think a lot of times we just think going to a worship service means that we are going to like sit and listen. But in the scriptures, worship is a verb, it's activity. And so if we're going to worship God, then there is activity in our life toward God and for God. And so worship then becomes our response to this God. He is initiating us, He is initiating to us, you know, and drawing us to Him, and then we are responding to Him. And so out of His love for us, we respond to Him by, yes, being a part of His church, yes, serving Him, yes, giving financially to Him, yes, singing to Him, yes, studying His word, yes, prayer. And so all of these things become activities in our life when we are in fact dialed in and focused on worship of God.
When you think about day to day, there are certainly a lot of things in life that we do give our time and our talents and our treasure to. When we think about culture, what are some things maybe that you see others, or maybe we're tempted just in the day to day basis to really maybe just without even knowing it begin to worship in culture?
Yeah, I think that word you just said was tempted, and so we're going to be tempted to worship all kinds of things with our life, because our sin nature, and then yes, culture is throwing stuff in our face consistently every single day of what we should value and what we should run after. And so culture, you know, is going to say worship money, worship fame, worship beautiful, you know, body, face, whatever it is, expensive cars, you know, bigger houses. These are the things that culture, we know this, they're going to put in our face. And if we're not careful, we go, yeah, that is worthy of my time and energy. Yeah, I think I'll stay late at work. I think I'll, you know, work 80 hours this week so that I can get more money, so that I can get more stuff. And then, you know, we fall into this rat race. And so we're constantly tempted to worship things outside of God. And our heart doesn't even want to worship God until, you know, He begins to initiate that in us. And at the end of the day, like when we start thinking about, you know, idols and things like that, are we really worshiping God? Are we worshiping an idol? It's hard for us in this culture because we're not creating, you know, idols out of wood or golden images anymore. And so our idols are those concepts of what I just mentioned. And so I think a lot of people show up on Sunday mornings and think, oh yeah, I worship God. But man, I can tell you, just showing up and sitting and listening is not worship. Like, you've got to engage on Sunday. You need to engage in your local church to really begin to flesh out and respond to God through worship, through serving and giving and all that stuff.
You kind of hit on that. For somebody who's not a follower of Jesus, that may not be something that they're really even paying attention to, and they may just openly worship those things. But for the follower, what is the danger maybe in slipping into that pattern of worshiping the things of this world?
Well, I mean, the danger is going to be that we are dishonoring God, and, you know, we're not focused and dialed in on Him, and so we start to find our joy or our satisfaction. We try to find our joy and satisfaction through these things, but they always leave us empty and longing for more, because the things that we're ultimately wanting from money and fame are things like, I want to feel valuable. I want to feel connected. I want to feel loved. And, you know, money, success, fame, power never comes through with that. The only thing that can come through is our God and connecting to Jesus Christ and finding our identity in Him and finding our mission and purpose through Him. And so ultimately, as we chase all these things, what we're doing is we're trying to fill that void in our heart. And we may not know this, but what we're really trying to do is we're trying to find God, because He's the only one that can fill that.
We've talked a lot lately about the opportunity to influence culture. So when we do truly worship Jesus and we really do truly reject the things of this world, how does that kind of open the door for us to influence culture around us?
Yeah, I really think our worship has an opportunity to impact other people. I mean, the Apostle Paul talks about how our worship can do that. When unbelievers see us pursuing Jesus, they're going to ask why. They're going to wonder why. Peter tells us, you know, be ready to give an answer to, you know, the joy and the hope that we have. Always be ready to give that. And if people are asking, it's because they're noticing something in us. And so when we worship Jesus, we will stand out. I just believe that when you're worshiping Jesus in our culture, you will stand out. It's going to be in your attitude. It's going to be in your how you carry yourself. It's going to be in how you respond to negative situations or trials in your life. It's going to be oozing out of you, because you're going to be talking about what's going on in your local church. You're going to be talking about what you're learning, and you're going to be involved in the community of believers. And so that's just going to come up in your conversation. There's just no way to really love and worship Jesus and it not come out in your life. And so I think it's really important that if we notice in our life that, you know, He's not really on our mind, He's not in our thoughts, He's not in our conversation, then I think that's an indication that there's a problem.
So how do we really know if we actually truly are standing out because of our worship?
Yeah, well, that's a tough question. I think that, you know, we're gonna begin to see some impact in the people around us. I think that people will notice our life. I think there will be questions that come to us. I think that we will be able to just be in relationships with people where we're actually having conversations with them and encouraging them and you know, either inviting them to church or talking to them about faith. And I think it's just going to be a part of our conversation. And I think what we get into as Christians in our culture today, sometimes we get so dialed into work, and all of a sudden all we're talking about is work. And then we might talk about kids for a little bit, and then that takes us to maybe some sports and their hobbies and stuff, and then that's kind of it. I think having conversations is kind of, you know, harder for us today to actually get to the real meat of life, you know. So I think in general we struggle with that, but I do think that we can see that impact just based on how people are responding to us.
Yeah, so we really have talked a lot about the idea of influence. So how can true, authentic worship of Jesus really help us to influence a culture that really kind of seems to want nothing to do with Christianity?
Yeah, well, I think when we look to the scriptures, there's a story in the Bible in Daniel chapter 3 that really helps us when we think about this, because this is the famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had created a 90-foot golden statue, most likely of himself. And he said that when the music plays, they had this orchestra, this band or whatever, when the band strikes up and plays, everybody in town is supposed to bow down and worship this golden image. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a decision to make. Are they going to bow down and worship this idol, or will they stand for what they believe? Will they compromise? Will they stand? And if they do, they will stand out and they will face judgment. They will face the fiery furnace. That was the consequence if you didn't worship. And so, when we look to this story, then we can kind of go back to this question and say, okay, how is our worship going to influence culture? Okay, well, when we are standing for Christ, then there's going to be some stark differences in how we live our life. And for these three men, they got it. They understood that when they stood up and they did not bow down while everybody else's face was on the ground and they're standing there, they knew they were going to stand out. They knew there were going to be consequences. And even though they knew there were going to be consequences, they still decided to remain faithful. And so I think for us today, that's a decision we have to make. Are we going to remain faithful even if we're looked down upon at work, even if we don't get the promotion, even if we don't get the deal, even if, you know, maybe we get fired, even if we get ridiculed or social media tears us apart because of our beliefs? What's going to be our response? And I think, you know, right now, we don't want to be a soft Christian. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to bow down when culture, you know, turns up the heat. We want to maintain our steadfastness here. And I think these three men give us a great insight on and just courage to say, you know what, no matter what culture is going to tell us, we're going to worship Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like the true indicator of the depth of our worship is really our response, right?
Yes.
That's what Daniel teaches us, especially when we're traveling through fire or a crisis in our lives. So how do we really stand firm in those circumstances?
Well, I think you have to make the decision before you're even faced with the decision. And I think that's important. Like you need to, as I study the word and as I, you know, grow in my worship and grow my relationship with Christ, I want to get to the point to where I can say, all right, here's what I believe because this is what the word of God says. And so I'm going to stand for this. So if I'm faced with this decision, if I'm faced with this scenario, I already know what my answer is going to be. My answer is going to maintain a biblical foundation. So then it's not as difficult. I already know what my answer is. I already know what I believe about, you know, all of these hot topic issues in our culture. I already know what the Word of God says on this. And so I establish that firmness by doing some hard work on the front end, which is some study and prayer and learning and growing and committing to these things even before I'm faced with this.
Yeah, and as Daniel teaches us too, I think what we see is when we worship God, it's not really worshiping in response to circumstance, but it's worshiping and understanding that we're saved by his presence and his promise, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's super applicable to today's culture. Why do you think, you know, the command was when the music played that everybody respond and bow down to music? What's unique about music?
Man, I think music is just so intertwined with our heart. Music is just so connected to our soul. It's how we express our love. It's how we express devotion. I just think that as humans, when our heart is stirred, we want to, we're desiring to, even if we don't have a good voice, we want to express that in a song. And so when we're in love, we want to sing a song to our loved one. You know, when you watch your favorite movie, there's always an amazing soundtrack behind it. And so when you're on vacation, you like to listen to those musics, you know, that music that brings that fun atmosphere. When you go to dinner, there's background music. Every time, you know, your team scores, you know, they play the fight song. And so it's just like love songs, songs of winning, songs that just draw us together always happen in joyful times. And so when we look at scripture, we're called to give a joyful noise to the Lord. So we're called to sing and we're called to. So I think just music in general just plays such a huge part in the world and in human nature. And so I think the enemy knows this, obviously. And so he knows we're drawn to music. He knows music has great influence and power over us. Music has the ability to make us change how we think. And so when it comes to worship, a lot of times, you know, in the church, we kind of get confused because we think only the singing part of the service is worship. And so that's where in the church where we get a little confused. We say, you know, the worship is over and now, you know, we're going to listen to the sermon. When in fact, listening to a sermon is an act of worship because you're opening up the Word of God and prayerfully asking Him to speak to you. So that is indeed worship. You know, when you sit down at small group and you're around the Word of God, that is small group. Prayer is worship. And so, you know, giving is worship. Serving is worship. So there are so many different layers to how we respond to God. But for whatever reasons, we've just kind of been ingrained in our mind to think that music is worship. But so kind of getting back to your question here, I think, you know, when the band plays King Nebuchadnezzar, the band plays, everybody bows down to worship. I think it is because music just has this power in our life. And so what we have to really dial into is, what are we listening to? How can we draw ourselves into the presence of God through music? And I think worship albums, you know, various, there's a ton of good worship music out there today. And so I think you can just dial into that and allow that to help you, you know, respond to God. So I don't think music is a great way to lead you into worship. And I think this is kind of the tie in this story in Daniel 3 is just, hey, when the music plays, what are you going to worship? You know? And so I think it's very interesting.
Yeah. Music is certainly incredibly powerful when it comes to our worship. And I think the encouraging thing about Daniel is their response. They didn't bow down to that music and didn't worship King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, absolutely. And so because of that, they have to face the consequences. And so they stand before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he asked them to give a defense. And they say, you know what, we're not going to defend ourselves in this matter. And in chapter 3, verse 17, it says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. So recognizing our God is able to help us get through this. He can deliver us. He's able. But verse 18 says, even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You know, for me, this is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. If you're going through a trial, if you're going through a time of suffering, you're going through a time of adversity in your life, this is one of those verses that God can use, and God will grow you through and will encourage you. Because here's what they're saying. They're saying, King, listen, we know that you're getting ready to kill us, but we also know that our God is able to deliver us from this punishment. But even if he does not, we're not going to bow down and worship this idol. It's beautiful. We're not going to worship this idol just because, you know, you're threatening us. We're going to worship our God in the good times and in the bad times. We're going to worship God no matter what's happening to us. We're going to worship God when the harvest is plentiful or when famine strikes. You know, we're going to trust God when the salary is big or when the salary is small. We're going to trust God because he is God. Not for the blessings and the things that he is giving to us, but because he is the creator and he's our God. And we know he has given us salvation. We know he has given us a place in heaven. And so no matter what I go through, you know, sometimes, you know, it's frustrating and it's you're like, God, where are you? God, why aren't you listening? It feels like, you know, maybe he's not there, but this is a reminder that God is always with us. And just because he feels like he's silent, or just because we feel like he didn't answer our prayer the way that we wanted him to, doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It just means that his plan is much bigger than we can comprehend right now. And so sometimes God is going to save you from the trial. And this is what he does for these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they go into the furnace and then all of a sudden there's another in the fire. And there's a fourth person, and this fourth person we know to be Jesus Christ. And so they are saved from the fire. And sometimes God, we cry out to him, we stand up, we cry out to him, and he is going to save us, and he's going to heal us, and he's going to come through in a miraculous way for us. And we know he's able, and sometimes he's going to do that. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes God is going to use the trial to actually draw us closer to him and to use that trial, maybe even to save us. You know, so many stories where, you know, people were far from God and then they go through a divorce, they go through a really difficult time. And that difficult season is what God used to actually draw them to salvation. Now, God never wants us to sin. He doesn't. Divorce might have been a bad example. I mean, he doesn't want us to get a divorce, but at the same time, he can use those bad situations in our life for our good. And sometimes, you know, God is going to save us from the trial. And so we don't know how he's going to respond, but we certainly want to pray. We certainly want to remain faithful. And we want to be able to, at the end of the day, to say, God, here's my heart. Here's my prayer. I worship you. And no matter how you respond, whether you bring me the miracle or not, my answer is, even if he does not, I'm going to worship him.
It's a beautiful illustration of true worship is resting in that understanding that sometimes God will save us from the fire. Sometimes he saves us through the fire. And yeah. Understanding that when somebody sees that, that's a beautiful illustration of true worship. That can influence culture around us.
Absolutely. You remain faithful in that in this difficult season of your life, and it will influence the people around you, no doubt.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Trent, thank you as always for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Ascent Podcast. Well, thanks as always for taking the time to listen to the Ascent Podcast. And if you enjoy this episode or previous episodes, please take a moment to drop us a rating or a review. Ratings and reviews truly do help us to expand this resource and to reach more people. Thanks as always for listening.